Honorable Speaker, the Excellency, Mr. President, how much time do I have, sir? Cabinet colleagues and deputy ministers, Governor of the Reserve Bank, MECs of Finance, fellow South Africans, the Masiari, Sanbonani, Molweni, Goeiemiddag, Thobela, Dumelang, Abshin. As I begin, let me table before this august house first the budget speech, secondly the 2018 budget review, which includes the fiscal framework, revenue proposals including customs and excise duties, estimates of national revenue and replies to the budgetary review and recommendations reports, the division of revenue bill, the appropriation bill, and the estimates of national expenditure. At the very advent of our democracy, as the nation was emerging from more than three centuries of colonial oppression, which President Nelson Mandela described as an extraordinary human disaster that had lasted too long, he urged that out of that experience had to be born a society of which all humanity would be proud. To our highly expectant nation, he addressed the following words, that I quote, "Our daily deeds as ordinary South Africans must produce an actual South African reality that will reinforce humanity's belief in justice, strengthen its confidence in the nobility of the human soul, and sustain all our hopes for a glorious life for all," close quote. Indeed, during the past 23 years, we have as a people striven to live up to these injunctions conferred on us by that great leader of our people. It is correct that as we celebrate the centenary of his birth, we should recall his words, his thoughts, and his actions. Indeed, his dreams for our nation, in order to remind ourselves of the mammoth journey that still lies ahead of our efforts to build this society, the country of which humanity would be proud. Almost 24 years on, President Ramaphosa captured the moment and mood aptly in delivering his inspirational inaugural State of the Nation address when he said that a new dawn was upon us and urged us to renew our nation's promise. Declaring this a year of change, renewal, and hope, he urged us to honor both Madiba and Mama Albertina Sisulu, not only in word, but more importantly, in direct action towards the achievement of their shared vision of a better society. This was a profound statement, echoing the hopeful and unifying sentiments of the founders of our democracy and the living dreams of the peoples of our country. The president proceeded to outline an abiding vision for our country that has resonated with all our people, fired all of us with hope and enthusiasm, and ignited a sense of renewal. Towards the realization of this vision, the budget we present today is an opportunity to reflect on the state of the nation's finances and the economy more broadly, but most importantly, to understand how these support our social and economic objectives. This is the challenge of our time, to build a South Africa in which all people have a decent standard of living, access to economic opportunities and opportunity to pursue their dreams. It is these core aspirations which the budget must speak to, enable and indeed advance. We stand before you, therefore, with a profound sense of optimism, purpose, and resolve. All of us should heed the President's call, echoing the late great Hugh Masekela, to lend a hand in addressing society's most pressing challenges. Fellow South Africans, we have the opportunity to achieve faster and more inclusive growth, to create jobs for our people and a better life for all South Africans. That opportunity comes from a favorable global economic outlook, with many of our trading partners doing well, and from improved prices for our exports. That opportunity comes from a fiscal framework which has improved markedly since the October medium-term budget policy statement. That opportunity comes from a stronger rand and favorable inflation outlook. That opportunity comes from the strong partnership which has been forged between all the social partners to prevent further ratings downgrades and remove obstacles to investment, growth and job creation. That opportunity comes from improving confidence as business and consumers have responded positively to political developments over the last 3 months and are anticipating progressive, ethical and decisive leadership from government. To take advantage of these opportunities, we must act with urgency to make tangible progress on issues of public governance, inclusive growth and economic transformation. As Julius Nyerere once said, we must run while others walk, quote unquote. The resolve to grasp the opportunities of the present moment has already become evident. Government has demonstrated its resolve to confront allegations of state capture and corruption through the Judicial Commission of Inquiry announced by former President Zuma and reaffirmed by President Ramaphosa, as well as the investigations being conducted by the Hawks, the Asset Forfeiture Unit, and other agencies. Responding to an environment of eroding public trust in the early 20th century, former US President Theodore Roosevelt said, I quote, "There are in the body politic, economic and social, many and grave evils, and there is urgent necessity for the sternest war upon them. There should be relentless exposure of and attack upon every evil man, whether politician or businessman, every evil practice, whether in politics, business, or social life. I hail as a benefactor every writer or speaker, every man who, on the platform or in a book, magazine, or newspaper, with merciless severity makes such attack, provided always that he, in his turn, remembers that the attack is of use only if it is absolutely truthful." Close quote. All of us who have the honor to serve as public representatives and officials should be prepared to subject ourselves to public scrutiny. We have demonstrated our resolve by strengthening Eskom's board and management with highly capable, ethical, and credible leadership. This leadership has hit the ground running to turn the utility around by decisively addressing outstanding governance concerns and restoring the confidence of stakeholders to stick with it as it improves its performance and sustainability. The President's intervention this week to restore dialogue on mining policy raises hope that a solution will be found to unlock growth and transformation in this critical sunrise sector. All stakeholders should be encouraged by the President's intervention and commitment to set the industry on a new path of investment, inclusive growth and transformation. We therefore welcome the Chamber of Mines' postponement of their court action as they join this new process. Our resolve to ensure the sustainability of the nation's finances will become evident today as we table a budget which carefully balances a variety of important priorities, including social investment and protection, economic investment, and the need to stabilize the growth in public debt. After several years, during which economic growth undershot our projections, we now see the improved growth projections for 2018 and subsequent years as a floor rather than a ceiling. We are convinced that as business and consumer confidence return, and as government follows through on its commitments to enable growth with prudent, fast, and decisive action, we can exceed our growth projections. With purpose and resolve, we can take advantage of these opportunities and achieve the faster growth which is needed dramatically to reduce unemployment, poverty, and inequality, and relieve pressure on our fiscal framework. This is tough. This is a tough but hopeful budget. Lesi sabelo semali sibonakalisa ukuthi sikwazile ukuthatha inqumo eyiqinile eyibonakalisa isibindi, kodwa futhi isabelo semali esibonakalisa ithemba lokuthi umnotho wakithi uzokhula ngendlela ezobuyisela ikwakhiwa kwamathuba emisebenzi nentuthuko nenqubekela phambili empilweni zabantu bakithi. It required us to make difficult but necessary trade-offs. Important to ensure that this budget is a platform for renewal, inclusive growth and job creation. It directs spending to our most pressing national priorities, educating our youth, protecting the vulnerable, and investing in enablers of inclusive growth. It moderates spending and raises the revenues required to contain the growth in national debt, whilst trying to minimize negative effects on growth. It presents a budget outlook which is markedly improved since the medium-term budget policy statement in October. It now projects debt stabilizing as a share of GDP over the medium term. Budget 2018 charts a path out of economic stagnation, anticipating a steady increase in economic growth, which will create a path to prosperity for our people and improve our nation's finances over time. There are risks and spending pressures we will need to navigate carefully, but this budget presents a roadmap to maintaining the integrity of our public finances whilst protecting social services. Madam Speaker, we remain committed to the goals we set ourselves in the Freedom Charter, the Constitution, and the National Development Plan. Le miqulu iqhubekela phambili nokuba umhlahlandlela walapho siphokophelele khona. These goals are ultimately aimed at addressing the triple challenges of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. To achieve these goals, we have to implement radical socio-economic transformation. It would be remiss of me not to acknowledge that last year was particularly difficult for our economy. Kwakuwunyaka owawunenkinga yokuthi umnotho wakithi wawukhula ngezinga elingalifanelekile. We got into a recession. We got into ratings downgrades and heightened concerns regarding the governance and sustainability of key state-owned companies. Despite this, the country's economic growth outlook has improved over the past few months. because of strong growth in the primary sector of the economy, particularly agriculture, as well as a welcome recovery in investor sentiment and business confidence. Over the medium term, the growth outlook is higher than projected in last year's MTBPS. The cyclical recovery is matched by a renewed sense of optimism that the government can and will do its work effectively. This presents an opportunity for us to do the things required to reignite growth and chart a course towards meeting the objectives of the NDP and fulfilling our constitutional obligations. Our responsibilities in translating this renewed energy into tangible and sustainable economic benefits for all our people include: 1, creating the right environment for investment; 2, partnering with the social partners to create sustainable employment; 3, dealing decisively with governance and financial failures at state-owned companies; and 4, addressing the concentrated and inequitable structure of the economy. Achieving these objectives will require us to forge a new social compact between the social partners. We need to provide investors with the certainty required to increase investment. Raising the level of investment and improving the ease of doing business in the country will support job creation. Private sector investment and job creation are critical to reducing unemployment, which remains stubbornly high at 26.7%. Investment opportunities are accompanied by the following global, are occasioned by the following global developments in our main trading partners. First, stronger domestic demand in the United States and the euro area, which has supported an improved growth outlook. Secondly, the recovery in commodity prices has also supported developing countries' growth prospects. And third, sub-Saharan Africa is expected to grow at 3.3% in 2018. Madam Speaker, by harnessing these opportunities, we can move our economy towards the targets we have set ourselves in the NDP. South Africa needs to be bold and coordinated in building sectors where we have comparative advantages and can be truly world-class. These include, but are not limited to, mining, agriculture, tourism, as well as manufacturing and service exports to the rest of Africa and globally. The 2017 GDP growth projection has been revised upward to 1%, which is higher than the 0.7% expected at the time of the MTBPS last year. We are anticipating growth of 1.5% in 2018, rising to 2.1% in 2020. While this is a good start, there are immediate policy interventions that we need to make in order to ensure that we create the right environment for investment, growth, and employment. The first is to finalize the 14 confidence-boosting measures that we committed to in July last year. Madam Speaker, I am pleased to announce that good progress has been made in this regard, as detailed in Chapter 1 of the budget review. The gains from progress made by government action are important but insufficient to achieve transformation and inclusive growth. Together, government, labor, the private sector, and civil society have the ability and responsibility to grow the economy inclusively. The enormous potential of our partnership has been demonstrated by the CEO's initiative, which has established a business-led fund committing about 1.4 billion rand to support high-potential SMMEs. Cheers. National Treasury invited citizens to contribute suggestions through our budget tips competition. Our runner-up tipster, Karabo Tladi, reminded us that, I quote, government must ensure that youth are equipped with sufficient skills in business and look critically at the policies that involve funding for youth-owned businesses. If the funding for small businesses could be accessible, unemployment will be cut in half through small business initiatives, close quote. Indeed, Karabo, government must create an enabling environment for small businesses to thrive, as they are an important lever to create jobs and grow the economy inclusively. Osoma bhizinisi abasafufusa bayakudinga ukwesekelwa uhulumeni ngazo zonke iindlela ezingakhonakala, ngoba yibona abakwazi ukwakha amathuba emisebenzi amaningi nokusimamisa umnotho wakithi nokwenza isiqinisekiso sokuthi labo abasakhishwa inyumbazana kwezomnotho nabo bayalithola ithuba lokuthi babe osomabhizinisi kanye nosoyimboni. Work is being done to provide crucial funding to innovative small businesses when they need it most. A fund with an allocation of 2.1 billion rand over the medium term is being developed between the Departments of Small Businesses, Science and Technology, and National Treasury to benefit small and medium enterprises during the early startup phase. This is an area that has historically had limited support because of the risks involved. By enabling new businesses with new ideas to emerge and thrive, we are radically transforming patterns of production in the economy. Another important constraint for small business is lack of market access and barriers to entry. To resolve this, our competition authorities continue to do the necessary and important work of addressing barriers to entry and rooting out anti-competitive behavior, which slows economic growth and dynamism. As the President indicated, the Competition Commission's market inquiry to investigate data prices will be completed by the end of August 2018. This will support the work being done by government to improve competition in the telecommunications sector. By deconcentrating our economy, we are radically transforming the structure of our economy. Furthermore, there is continued collaboration with our social partners at NEDLAC to improve the country's investment ratings and accelerate economic growth. While this represents much needed progress, it is inadequate to get the economy growing at the rate we need. More needs to be done. We are inspired by the President's commitment in the SONA to convene an investment conference and job summit to bring all stakeholders together around practical initiatives to catalyze inclusive growth and job creation. Transformation calls for more than growth alone. It requires a fundamental shift in the way that wealth is created and shared. The structure of the economy needs to be transformed radically to allow for new ideas, businesses, and economic activities to emerge and to thrive. Madam Speaker, South Africa cannot be fixated on our domestic circumstances that we ignore fundamental global economic trends, dynamics, and debates that will shape the future. We must continue to chart a path for ourselves that is responsive to global change, but equally tailored to addressing the specific needs of our society that will result in truly better lives for all. In this way, and as urban poet Kendrick Lamar says, we're going to be right. We're going to be all right. At the same time, at the MTBPS, government debt was shown to be on an unsustainable path. Debt service costs were also projected to rise, crowding out social spending. Despite an improved outlook, government still faces a revenue gap of 48.2 billion rand in the current year, which carries through to the outer years of the medium-term expenditure framework. In addition, the December 2017 announcement of fee-free higher education and training entails large new allocations over the medium term. In response, government has made significant changes to the fiscal framework. Firstly, new tax measures raised an additional 36 billion rand in 2018-19, mainly through a higher VAT rate and below inflation adjustments to personal income tax brackets. Okokuqala, uhulumeni uthathe isinqumo sokuthi athathe anyuse izinga lentela elizosenyusela imali ebalelwa kumabhiliyoni angamashumi amathathu nesithupha, ikakhulukazi ngokwenyusa intela ebizwa nge-VAT kanjalo nezinye iintela. Sizokuchaza lokhu kabanzi ukuthi kuzobathinta kanjani ikakhulukazi abantu abahluphekayo. Secondly, the expenditure ceiling has been revised down marginally from what was presented in October. However, the small revisions are underpinned by large reductions and reallocations. Over the next 3 years, the spending framework includes 1, expenditure reductions approved by cabinet amounting to 85 billion rand. 2, an allocation of 57 billion rand for fee-free higher education and training. And 3, additions to the contingency reserve amounting to 10 billion rand. Taken together and supported by a strengthened growth outlook, these interventions will stabilize public finances. The consolidated deficit is now projected to narrow from 4.3% of GDP in 2017-18 to 3.5% in 2020-21. The main budget primary deficit closes over the medium term, helping to stabilize the gross debt to GDP ratio at 56.2% of GDP in 2022-23 and declining thereafter. These fiscal proposals will cause economic discomfort, but they are necessary to protect the integrity of the public finances. Acting now to strengthen the fiscal position will improve the outlook for the economy and increase space for future investment growth. It is the right thing to do. We dare not borrow irresponsibly, leaving it to future generations to repay. Our fiscal interventions also demand greater efficiency in the use of funds across the public sector. Government recognizes the need to shift spending away from consumption towards higher investment. Over the past decade, the public sector has invested 2.2 trillion rand in economic and social infrastructure. Yet, weaknesses in project preparation, execution, and delivery have resulted in lengthy delays and cost overruns. To improve this, government has established a budget facility for infrastructure to standardize and improve the management of public infrastructure projects. To support higher levels of capital investment and maintenance, the state needs to contain the public service wage bill. Government is working to ensure that the current wage negotiations process results in a fair and sustainable agreement. This process will require careful consideration from all stakeholders. Madam Speaker, the tax proposals for the 2018 budget are designed to generate an additional 36 billion rand in tax revenue for 2018-2019. The main tax proposals for the 2018 budget are an increase in the value-added tax rate from 14 to 15%, a below-inflation increase in the personal income tax rebates and brackets with greater relief for those in the lower income brackets, an increase in the ad valorem excise duty rate on luxury goods from 7% to 9%, a higher estate duty tax rate of 25% for estates greater than 30 million rand, a 52 cents per litre increase in the levies of fuel, made up of a 22 cents per litre for the general fuel levy and a 30 cent per litre increase in the road accident fund, and increases in the alcohol and tobacco excise duties of between 6% and 10%. From this afternoon, ukusukela manje ntambama, ikani likabhiya eliwu 340 mils lizokwenyuka ngamasenti ayishumi nanhlanu. Ibhodlela lewayini lizonyuka ngamasenti amashumi amabili nantathu. Ibhodlela lamanzi ampunjwana lawa adliwa abanye ngaphambi kokuba bezela endlini lizonyuka ngamarandi amane kanye namashumi ayisishiyagalombili. Bese iphakethe likagwayi le 20 lenyuke ngerandi namasenti amashumi amabili nambili. Ngenhlonipho ke kumntwana Ndabezitha, lobu bakithi besintu sisabiyekile. Uma senza lezi phakamiso zentela, uhulumeni ukucabange kakhulu ukuthi kubaluleke kanjani ukuthatha izinqumo ezizokwazi ukusimamisa umnotho. Futhi sicubungule kabanzi yonke imibono ephakanyiswe abantu nxazonke. In taking these decisions, government reviewed considerably the potential contributions from the three major tax instruments, which raise over 80% of our revenue, that is personal and corporate income tax and VIT and VAT. We have increased personal income tax significantly in recent years, particularly at the higher income bands, and our corporate income tax is high by international standards. We have not adjusted VAT since 1993, and it is low compared to some of our peers, such as Argentina, Morocco, Turkey, and Kenya. We therefore decided that increasing VAT was unavoidable if we are to maintain the integrity of our public finances. Ubethusile Mcinga reminded us of the real concerns of our people, telling me via social media that, quote, "Before you speak about big words like radical transformation and all big numbers, please, please, ndicela uthobe iprize yamaqanda neoros," close quote. The current zero rating of basic food items such as maize meal, brown bread, dried beans, and rice will limit the impact on the poorest households. izinto eyifana nempuphu nesinkwa nezinye sisaqhubekile ukuthi singayifaki intela kuzo ukuze abantu bakithi abahluphekayo baqhubeke nokwazi ukuthenga ukudla okuzokwazi ukubaphilisa. Vulnerable households will also be compensated through an above average increase in social grants. Sizophinda senyuse ngokwevile kancane imali yokuxhasa abahluphekayo. Some relief will be provided for lower income individuals through an increase in the bottom three personal income tax brackets and the rebates. In addition to VAT, we are increasing excise duties on luxury goods and estate duty on wealthy individuals. Taken together, we believe these proposals best protect the progressive nature of our tax regime to minimize the impact on lower income households. The increase in VAT, the 1% increase in VAT, will affect 80% of those who are at the higher spectrum of income earners in South Africa. The poor will remain protected through zero-rated basic foodstuffs and above inflation increases in social income. The National Treasury, in close cooperation with the Reserve Bank, the Financial Intelligence Center, and the South African Revenue Service, is taking several steps to detect, disrupt, and deter financial illicit flows. These measures include increasing capacity, coordinating a national risk assessment, and improving information sharing between various agencies. In line with G20 recommendations, policy measures to deal with transfer pricing and base erosion by multinational companies are being implemented and continue to be heightened. Having a sustainable tax base is important to ensure that government has enough revenue to meet its spending needs. Companies can structure affairs to reduce their tax base in South Africa and shift their profits to low-tax countries. This threatens the sustainability of our tax base and is a challenge that most governments are struggling with. The implementation of country-by-country reporting will enable SARS to ensure that companies pay their fair share of tax in South Africa. We are also investigating. Cheers. We are also investigating options to further cap the practice of excessive interest deductions by companies in order to reduce their tax liability. The realization of taxes from the offshore wealth of taxpayers, as highlighted in the Panama and more recently the Paradise Papers, was evidenced in the over 2,000 applications for disclosure by South African taxpayers under last year's special voluntary disclosure program. It is anticipated that by the end of March 2018, over 3 billion rand will have been collected in respect of the SVDP that have been processed, with work on remaining applications continuing into the new fiscal year. Measures to approve material cross-border transactions involving state-owned entities will be put in place. The digital economy brings about many technological advances that have led to changes in business models. Today, we update draft VAT regulations to cover foreign businesses selling electronic services to South African consumers. Working closely with the Department of Trade and Industry, I have approved 6 special economic zones that will make qualifying companies subject to a reduced corporate tax rate and enable them to claim an employment tax incentive for workers of all ages. These measures will promote investment in those manufacturing and tradable services sectors that encourage exports, job creation, and economic growth. Working with the Minister of Science and Technology, government has streamlined the administration of the research and development tax incentive. Aside from raising revenue, the tax system is increasingly required to play a role in protecting the natural environment and promoting sustainable use of limited resources. Parliament is currently considering the draft carbon tax bill, which will assist South Africa to meet its climate change commitments to reduce our carbon emissions. The tax will be implemented from 1 January 2019. As with greenhouse emissions, the polluter must pay principle must also apply to other activities which harm the environment, like the dumping of plastics into our oceans and threatening of marine life. Working with the Department of Environmental Affairs, we will shortly publish a policy brief to broaden the scope of environmental fiscal reform, to explore fiscal and regulatory measures to improve water resource management, mitigate the emission of pollutants, and encourage recycling to reduce waste, such as plastic, which is polluting our oceans. Madam Speaker, tax morality is a crucial component of a healthy democracy. It has taken many years and lots of effort to build the foundation of trust that supports our tax morality. We have seen how quickly that citizens' trust can be eroded by perceptions of poor public governance. At the State of the Nation address, the President has announced his intention to establish a commission of inquiry into tax administration and governance at SARS. This year, government will respond to the Davis Tax Committee's report on tax administration and introduce draft legislation to give effect to some of its recommendations, including those on the accountability of SARS to the Minister of Finance and the establishment of a supervisory board, as well as measures to strengthen the Office of the Ombud. Government will also take steps to implement the Customs Modernization Program currently implemented by SARS to give effect to the new customs and excise legislation passed in 2014. Honorable Speaker, allow me now to deal with how government will be spending its limited resources. Consolidated spending will increase from 1.67 trillion rand in 2018-19 to 1.94 trillion rand, representing a nominal annual average growth of 7.6% or 2.1% in real terms. In aggregate, government will be spending 792 billion rand on basic education, 668 billion rand on health, and 528 billion rand on social grants over the medium term. This coming fiscal year alone, government has allocated over 200 billion rand for peace and security, and another 200 billion rand for economic development to build a safer country and to grow our economy inclusively. The largest reallocations of resources towards government's priorities was on higher education and training, amounting to additional funding of 57 billion rand over the medium term. As a result, this is the fastest growing spending category, with an annual average growth of 13.7%. Accordingly, this government is proud to implement a major step forward towards our ultimate goal of guaranteeing access to higher education and training for all South Africans who qualify based on merit, not on class position. This follows former President Zuma's response to the Hare Commission of Inquiry into the Higher Education and Training reaffirmed by President Ramaphosa. Government will phase in fee-free higher education and training to students from poor and working-class families. Abantwana babantu abahlwempu, abahluphekayo nabantwana babasebenzi, yibona abazozuza kulolu hlelo uhulumeni alwethulayo. This means that all new first-year students with a family income below 350,000 rand per annum at universities and TVET colleges in the 2018 academic year will be funded for the full cost of study. This will be rolled out in subsequent years until all years of study are covered. Sebethule. Returning NSFAS students at university will have their loans for 2018 onwards converted to a bursary. This is an important step forward in breaking the cycle of poverty and confronting youth unemployment, as labor statistics show that unemployment is lowest for tertiary graduates. This issue should not be viewed only in the context of cost and how the country can fund a major increase in spending on higher education during difficult economic times. This is an historic development. Under apartheid, this country spent decades deliberately under-educating the black child, the African child in particular, and trying to break their backs. Generations of youth and student activists made enormous sacrifices, some giving up their lives, to gain access to quality education. The Freedom Charter calls for the doors of learning and culture to be opened to all, and continues to insist that, I quote, higher education and technical training shall be open to all by means of state allowances and scholarships awarded on the basis of merit, close quote. By ensuring an higher and further education and training is further made accessible to the children of workers and the poor, we honor the struggles of freedom fighters such as Bantu Stephen Biko, Nkgopotse Tiro, Kgotso Siyahlolo, Hector Peterson, Tsietsi Mashinini, Bathandwa Ndondo, among many others. We give credence to the sacrifices of our youth and salute the youth for the sacrifices they have made over the years to bring South Africa to where she is today. This is a major achievement for South Africa and is cause for celebration. Basic education remains key focus in the 2018 budget. Over the medium term, 3.8 billion rand is allocated to the school infrastructure backlogs grant and will replace 82 inappropriate and unsafe schools and provide water to 325 schools and sanitation to 286 schools. Sizoletha amanzi, silethe izindlu zangasese ezihloniphekile, kanjalo sakhe neyikole ezihloniphekile ezizokwenza abantwana bethu bakwazi ukufunda esimweni esifanelekile. The Education Infrastructure Grant is also allocated 31.7 billion rand over the medium term to build new schools, upgrade and maintain existing infrastructure, and provide school furniture. Meals will be provided at 19,800 schools for about 9 million learners each. Every school day through the National School Nutrition Grant, which is allocated 21.7 billion rand over the medium term. 39,000 Funza Lushaka bursaries disbursed via the National Student Financial Aid Scheme at a cost of 3.7 billion rand for prospective teachers in priority subject areas such as mathematics, science and technology will be provided over the next 3 years. Sithuthukisa amakhono othisha babantwana bethu. Our social protection systems continue to protect the poor and most vulnerable, and government has continued progressively on the path towards the national health insurance. Over the medium term, the NHI is allocated an additional 4.2 billion rand funded through an amendment to the medical expenses tax subsidy. Now, at least Dr. Mtswaledi akasezu ukuxabana nami ngoba uzile wazongithusa ekuqaleni komhlangano ukuthi uma ngingamnika imali ye-NHI sizobe sesixabene. Overall, government will be spending 205 billion rand on health in 2018-19, growing to 240 billion rand by 2020-21. Government has taken deliberate steps to adjust social grant values above inflation to at least partially cover for the proposed increase in VAT. Ngalokho, impesheni yabantu abadala kanjalo nesabelo zimali zalabo abakhubazekile nabagadi abantwana izonyuka ukusukela lulunye ku-April kulonyaka ophezulu kwinani lenkulungwane namakhulu ayisithupha izonyuka ngenani elingamashumi ayisishiyagalolunye lenyukele kwinkulungwane namakhulu ayisithupha namashumi ayisishiyagalolunye ebese kuthi ukusukela ngo-October yenyuke futhi kancane sithi chatha u-10 rand ngo-October yenyukele kwinkulungwane namakhulu ayisikhombisa. The old age pension, care dependency and disability grant from the 1st of April will be increased by 90 rand from 1,600 to 1,690 rand and by a further 10 rand to 1,700 rand on the 1st October 2018. The child support grant, kuyayikuthiwele ngakithi imali yeqolo, the child support grant will increase from the baseline of 380 to 400 billion rand on 1 April and to 410 rand on the 1st of October. Imani ke ake ngithi ukuyilungisa. Ake ngithi ukuyilungisa. Ngiyabona.
Oda.
Ngiyabona sekukhona abafuna ukuresign eParliament bokabili. Bayofuna le mali. The child support grant will increase from the baseline of 380 rand to 400 rand on 1 April. And to 410 rand on the 1st of October. This is a 6.6% annual increase. Sisaqhubeka njengohulumeni ukugcizelela ukuthi lezi imali zezondlo zabantwana mayiphelele ebantwaneni hayi kwezinye izinto eziseceleni. Ikhona ke i-video clip ebiloki circulator kuma WhatsApp nakoma social networks abantwana kwesinye isikole e-Eastern Cape bekhala ngokuthi imali zethu ayifikeleli lapha kithi kunezinto ezinye izenzayo awu bakwethu imali zeingana ke ziye kuzo. An additional 2.6 billion rand has been added since the MTBPS to social grants to enable these changes. These adjustments resulted in social protection spending increasing by 7.9% per year, much above inflation. As highlighted by the President in the State of the Nation address, government will ensure that social grants will continue to be paid without disruption. The first round of projects for the budget facility for infrastructure was received in 2017. The facility received 64 projects with an estimated funding requirement of 139 billion rand. Of the projects received, 38 met the requirement for evaluation. The evaluation process is currently being finalized, and projects that meet the criteria are expected to receive approval for funding in the first quarter of 2018-19. The budget facility for infrastructure should also assist us in attracting private investment projects. Government continues to support South African companies to grow and to become more competitive through incentives in the form of grants, loans, and tax allowances. 18.8 billion rand is allocated for industrialization incentives over the medium term, of which an additional allocation of 3.3 billion rand is allocated for the economic competitiveness and support package to support growth and job creation in support of the industrial policy action plan. Government is spending a significant amount on small business support in the medium term. The money aims to foster and support entrepreneurs like Ayanda and Sianda, who are here today as our special guests. Bengizocela ukuthi lapho bekhona baphakame. They have founded a clothing label called Peck's Lifestyle and describe themselves as true hustlers, not waiting for government programs or handouts. Kumanje bagqoke izinto abayithunga bona besebenzisa amatshali. Usacela niphakame futhi uminister we small business akazange anibone kahle nazoke. We salute your enterprising spirit and call on the public to support them and others like them. Of the incentives budget, 4.9 billion rand is allocated for industrial infrastructure projects over the medium term for special economic zones, government-owned industrial and critical infrastructure projects to promote industrial development and increase investment and exports of value-added commodities. To strengthen global market access for South African agricultural products, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries received an additional allocation of 40 million rand over the MTEF to upgrade infrastructure and equipment for analytical services laboratories. This will provide assurance to global trading partners that South African agricultural products meet internationally recognized standards for human safety, thereby facilitating our ability to export unhindered. In line with the outcomes of Operation Pakisa on agriculture, rural development and land reform, the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries aims to create and support 450 sustainable and profitable black commercial producers participating in prioritized value chains over a five-year period. An estimated 501.7 million rand is expected to be reprioritized for the black producer commercialization program. Shine his eye. Oh. By creating opportunities for black agricultural producers, we are radically transforming the agricultural sector of our economy. Over the medium term, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform intends to accelerate the settlement of restitution claims with plans to finalize 2,851 claims at a budgeted amount of 10.8 billion rand. Accelerating land reform has become urgent, and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform has set aside 4.2 billion rand for the acquisition of 291,000 hectares of strategically located land. The Judicial Commission of Inquiry into State Capture is ready to commence its work. Halala. budget allocation for the commission will be considered during the 2018 adjustment budget once its costing is finalized. The preparations for the 2019 elections are well ahead, supporting one of the crucial pillars of our young democracy. The challenges relating to the address harvesting and to record proper addresses of eligible voters as prescribed by the Constitutional Court are being resolved and will be concluded in the first quarter of the 2019 financial year. Madam Speaker, cheers. Severe drought conditions are affecting large parts of the country, and it is placing extreme strain on the supply of water to nearly 4 million people in the city of Cape Town. Some smaller towns in Northern Cape, Eastern Cape, including Nelson Mandela Bay and Western Cape, are also facing water shortages. South Africa is a water-scarce country, and our climate is changing ways that make rainfall patterns far less predictable than in the past. We need to conserve water. We have among the highest levels of per capita daily domestic water consumption levels in the world, and also some of the highest levels of inequality in reliable access to water. National government will continue to work with municipalities to respond effectively to the water crisis. Government stands ready to provide financial assistance where necessary. One, a provincial allocation of 6 billion rand has been set aside in 2018-19 for several purposes, including drought relief and to augment public infrastructure investment. I hope, Sis Nomvula, you are happy, Minister Van Rooyen. I'm sure you are also happy. Government is concerned by the potential job losses in vulnerable farming communities as a result of the drought. We are therefore exploring the option of partially mitigating losses by temporarily increasing intake in the Working for Water program. And thirdly, allocation for drought response funds for water infrastructure projects and EPWP will be made in the adjustment budget. Fourth, to provide short-term assistance, this budget includes disaster relief grants for provinces and municipalities worth 473 million rand in 2018-19. Other conditional grants can also be prioritized to respond to disasters if necessary. Madam Speaker, our constitution requires equitable division of revenue between the spheres of government and sets out criteria that govern the divisions. Over the MTEF period ahead, after providing for debt service costs and the contingency reserve, funds available for spending on public services grow by an average of 7.1% per annum, increasing to 1.3 trillion rand next year's and is projected to rise to 1.5 trillion in 2020-2021. Over the next 3 years, 48% of nationally raised funds are allocated to national government, 43% to provincial government, and 9% to local government. Of course, we would like to be able to allocate more to each sphere for service delivery and a larger share to local government. But the reality is that the rising cost of servicing our national debt leaves less resources available to invest in services across all spheres of government. The delivery of health services, for which provinces remain responsible, has recently come under spotlight. It should be noted that provinces face different challenges when it comes to the delivery of health services, and national government is aware and working towards resolving these challenges, whilst fast-tracking the testing of platforms in preparation for the NHI. It is for this reason that a joint health action plan spearheaded by the Department of Health and National Treasury is highly welcomed by the provinces and will focus on a number of intervention areas, including quality of care, medico-legal claims, human resources, information systems, and overall infrastructure for the delivery of health services. Local government financial management, Madam Speaker, local governments continue to face significant financial management and governance challenges. Too many municipalities do not charge tariffs that reflect the full cost of the services they deliver, in particular for water services. Many municipalities do not collect the funds that are owed to them and do not adopt credible budgets. As a result, they are unable to pay their own creditors. National government already provides extensive capacity support to municipalities, but over the period ahead, we will review the effectiveness of these different support measures and introduce a new instrument designed to assist the turnaround of some of the most troubled municipalities. Madam Speaker, cities are the heart of the national economy and hold the potential to drive our economic renewal. South Africa's 8 metros are home to 39% of our population, but account for half of all employment, formal and informal, and 57% of the country's economic output. The economic importance of cities is likely to increase. We must take advantage of this dynamic to drive inclusive growth. The Integrated Urban Development Framework sets out government's policy commitment to improving the productivity of South Africa's urban areas. Achieving this will require us to rethink approaches to South Africa's urban development challenges and to find new ways in which to stimulate faster and more inclusive growth. On a visit to the Bridge City Hub in eThekwini, I saw firsthand the transformative potential of coordinated public investment in reviving township economies through public and economic infrastructure investments and catalyzing private sector investments. Let all urban development stakeholders work imaginatively to transform township economies. Let us think beyond car washes, hair salons, and spaza shops, important as they are, and find ways to foster productive, high-value economic activity in townships owned and managed by township residents. We need to see factories, workshops, tech hubs, and locally owned retail operations being established in our townships. By revitalizing the township economy and reconfiguring our urban centers, we are radically transforming the unequal spatial planning of our cities. Government is also alert to the potential of our intermediate cities that are smaller than the metros but still significant urban centers. The better to respond to the urban development challenges they face, this budget proposes to introduce a new, more flexible grant funding arrangement for these cities over the medium term. Cities will be able to opt to join this new grant, which will require more integrated long-term planning and a greater contribution to infrastructure investment for their own resources. Madam Speaker, state-owned companies operate network industries such as electricity and transport that underpin our country's economic growth potential. President Ramaphosa made an unequivocal commitment in the State of the Nation address to intervene decisively to stabilize and revitalize state-owned enterprises and outlined in his response to the SONA drastic measures we are going to take to implement meaningful and far-reaching reforms to our state-owned companies. To date, we have managed to secure cabinet approval for frameworks on private sector participation, the appointment of boards, and the costing of developmental mandates, to appoint a new board chief executive officer and restructuring officer at SAA, and to implement the long-term turnaround strategy for the entity, And thirdly, to appoint a new board at Eskom. The Minister of Public Enterprises has instructed the entity to conclude all power purchase agreements with independent power producers. The 2017 medium-term budget policy statement warned that the liabilities of several state-owned companies were falling due, and without an improvement in cash flows and governance, they would be unable to meet these obligations. State-owned companies are expected to fund their own operations. As our winning tipster Lou Vomkachi wrote to us, it is not fair for taxpayer money to be used for continual bailouts caused by operational inefficiency and financial mismanagement. We agree with Luvo. We have limited fiscal room and are loath to use it to subsidize inefficiency, rather than address social needs and invest to improve our economic competitiveness. Government recognizes that the business models of some of our SOCs are unsustainable and their capital structure too reliant on debt. To confront these challenges, we will assist them to develop and implement robust turnaround plans. This needs to be part of a holistic reform program which considers the role we want state-owned companies to play in our economic development. Some will require restructuring with equity investment. In the coming year, government may be required to provide financial support to several state-owned companies, which could be done through a combination of disposing of non-core assets, strategic equity partners, or direct capital injections. In this regard, a property audit conducted by the Department of Public Works shows that national government owns up to 195,000 properties with an estimated value of over 40 billion rand. We will work with them on a program the better to utilize or dispose of these properties in the short to medium term. Government is finalizing a framework on guarantees aimed at both reducing the exposure and improving the quality of the guarantee portfolio. We can and will continue to ensure that all state-owned companies are run sustainably and contribute to our national development. Madam Speaker, transformation of the financial services sector is critical as the allocation of capital greatly influences patterns of ownership and production in the economy. In the financial services, government has gazetted the financial sector codes and a 100 billion rand black business growth fund has been created through the code. The fund will assist black entrepreneurs to finance big deals, an intervention that is crucial to transforming capital allocation in the economy. The financial sector summit will take place in April 2018. All of these efforts serve to extend access to South Africans who were excluded from the financial system. South Africa has a strong financial regulatory system and deep and liquid capital markets. These are critical rating strengths. The two new Twin Peaks authorities will be established on or soon after the 1st April 2018, and their powers will be phased in to ensure a smooth transition to the new and tougher regulatory system. Further steps will be taken to strengthen the system, including introducing deposit insurance and introducing a new way of resolving banks that are in financial distress. Draft legislation will be published shortly. Work will continue on reforming the legislation for financial markets and the payment system to ensure that our infrastructure remains globally competitive. The Treasury is working with the Reserve Bank, Financial Services Board, and other government entities towards a regulatory framework for all types of fintech. For instance, the emergence of cryptocurrencies is a major development to which our regulatory regime must respond. Government supports the expansion of competitive, affordable banking services and recognizes the value of digital banking services in this context. New technology offers substantial opportunities for new entrants into the financial sector. In 2017, the Reserve Bank granted 3 bank licenses, 2 for banks with significant digital banking capabilities and 1 for a new digitally focused mutual bank. These licenses will ensure banks are able to harness the power of technology and bring competition and innovation into the sector. We are pleased that one of the new banks has significant direct black ownership. We welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, Madam Speaker, we welcome and are pleased to welcome the return this year of Old Mutual, which will move its primary listing back to the Johannesburg Stock Exchange. We see this as a major vote of confidence in the attractiveness and growth potential of South Africa as a market in its own right, as well as a headquarters for African operations. There will be regulatory benefits with respect to risk and governance, but most importantly, it is good to welcome home one of our oldest financial services companies. Madam Speaker, government notes recent exposure of fraudulent accounting practices, including Steinhoff, resulting in large losses for many retirement and institutional funds. Government regulators, namely the Financial Services Board, the Independent Regulatory Board of Auditors, and other regulators, have initiated investigations which are currently in progress and are working with overseas regulators to ensure that those at fault are made to account for their crimes. As President Ramaphosa said during the SONA, I quote, "We must fight corruption, fraud, and collusion in the private sector with the same purpose and intensity," close quote. It is vital that we subject corporate corruption to the same amount of scrutiny and ensure, among others, that we implement the IRPA recommendations on mandatory audit firm rotation in order to ensure the rigor of the audit process and independence of audit committees and firms. Madam Speaker, a range of reforms are proposed to make it easier for South Africans to diversify and invest into Africa. The offshore allocation limits for institutional investors are increased by 5 percentage points across all categories. This includes the special allocation to African investments, which will rise to 10%. The limit applicable to hold company, also known as treasury management companies, has also been increased. Further administrative reforms are contained in Annex F of the budget review. Improving the treatment of retirement fund managers, of retirement fund members, government's retirement reform program will continue in 2018. Consultations at NEDLAC on annuitization of provident funds and preservation are still in progress, and it is my hope that an initial agreement can be concluded later this year. Government has also directed the Financial Services Board to proceed with measures to modernize and improve the governance of all retirement funds, starting with the requirement that all retirement funds must now submit audited financial statements annually. Other steps include the strengthening of enforcement measures, lowering costs and consolidating funds, and consulting with NEDLAC on more efficient measures to fund beneficiaries where funds are not claimed. During the current financial year, we engaged with the Auditor General and are making proposals to amend the Public Audit Act. This was occasioned by the worrying trend we see in rising unauthorized, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure. We will finalize the process this year to address these issues effectively. Madam Speaker, it is the policy of this government to leverage public procurement to support black economic empowerment, industrialization, and development of small businesses. Public procurement, worth hundreds of billions of rands annually, is a critical lever to change the production and ownership patterns of the economy to empower black people, women, and youth. For this reason, amendments to the preferential procurement regulations became effective on 1 April 2017. Key changes for the coming financial year include: 1, targeted procurement from designated groups, including township and rural enterprises, black women and youth enterprises, cooperatives, and people with disabilities, among others. The Premier of Northwest made a very strong argument for this earlier this year. Compulsory subcontracting to designated groups in all projects or contracts above 30 million rand. Nothing prevents organs of state from applying subcontracting provisions in projects or contracts below 30 million rand. 3, designation of sectors and industries for localization to support industrial development, localization, and job creation. The Public Procurement Bill will be submitted to Cabinet in March 2018 for gazetting for public comments. It will further enable government to use public procurement strategically to advance transformation, achieve efficiencies, and improve governance. Treasury will increase collaboration with all law enforcement agencies to strengthen efforts to fight fraud, corruption, and abuse of supply chain management systems across all spheres of government in order to restore the integrity of supply chain management. In recent years, a large number of deviations from national procurement processes has reduced the credibility of the supply chain management system. Deviations can also result in anti-competitive practices that open the doors to corruption and which limit transformation by preventing small businesses from doing business with the state. In future, deviations will be allowed only in rare, well-justified cases. Madam Speaker, government has a number of evergreen contracts which are open-ended. Evergreen contracts create barriers to entry, making it impossible for new entrants to participate in the allocation of government contracts. SMMEs and black-owned companies find it very difficult to participate in procurement opportunities as a result. We are therefore in the process of reviewing all of these with a view to ending them in the majority of cases. Madam Speaker, payment of suppliers on time is regulated by the PFMA and MFMA. Next week, the Director General of National Treasury will issue a directive to all government departments and public institutions instructing them to pay suppliers on time or be charged with financial misconduct. This must be monitored by accounting officers, and National Treasury will strengthen oversight mechanisms in this regard. We will work with colleagues in all spheres of government to improve performance of public entities on this critical issue. value for money and efficiency in spending remain critical in our drive to ensure the effective management of public resources. We are currently rolling out the strategic procurement framework that provides for a differentiated approach of procurement based on the characteristics of each commodity. A differentiated approach can achieve efficiencies through economies of scale, reduced duplication, and transparent pricing. In considering centralized procurement of certain commodities, we will be careful to avoid compromising competition and support for local economic development where provinces are best placed to procure such products and commodities. Together with the Department of Public Works, we will embark on an intensive drive to reduce government spend on rental and property leases. We will review the current 3-year rental lease period, which is prescribed for government departments, to lower the cost of financing for proper leases. This will unlock growth and value in the property sector. Before I talk about open budgeting, I want to thank members of the public for their kind suggestions and offers to assist us on various matters. At risk of being called Minister of Instagram, let me thank King Kesi, who tagged me in a post kindly offering to join me in Candy Crush rehab. Open budgeting management of public finances must continue to remain. And I'm sure there are many others who actually need the same rehab. And others need far serious rehab on my left than Candy Crush only. But anyway, that's not the issue. But management of public finances must continue to remain at the core of a capable and people-centered state. South Africa continues to set the gold standard for budget transparency. Citizens should be proud of the independent international recognition of being ranked first, number one, in the most recent 2017 Open Budget Survey, together with New Zealand. We are grateful for the historical contributions of oversight institutions like Parliament and the Auditor General towards this achievement. Looking to the future, true to the South African budget reform approach, we are not seeking the easy way out, and our efforts will not be superficial. We are prioritizing public participation. We are taking national treasury further to the people. In partnership with a civil society coalition named Imali Yethu, Our Money, we are investing the necessary resources to forge a genuine partnership in order to tackle very ambitious targets for public participation. This partnership has given birth to Vuleka Mali, Open Money, an online budget data portal launched just yesterday, aimed at making the use of all our budget information much easier. We seek to build an active citizenry that engages in discussions that are meaningful, together with government regarding service delivery and policies that affect every citizen. Madam Speaker, given the choices we have had to make, both as a nation and as government, in preparing this budget, I am reminded of the words of Lerone Bennett Jr. in the Road Not Taken, when he said, I quote, "A nation is an amalgam of critical decisions made at crucial forks in the road. A nation is a choice. It chooses itself at fateful forks in the road by turning left or right, by giving up something or taking something. And in giving up or the taking, in the deciding and not deciding, the nation becomes," close quote. Given the difficult circumstances we have been in and the choices we had to make in order to steer the course, maintain the trajectory of our policy objectives, and sustain our public finances, we have made the tough calls and decisions that affirm our nationhood. At crucial forks in the road, we made and continue to make the critical decisions that continue to forge our nation. The budget we present today is not easy, and the choices we have had to make have been difficult. But Spirella reminds us that, I quote again, there is no thrill in easy sailing when the skies are clear and blue. There is no joy in merely doing things which anyone can do. But there is more satisfaction that is mighty and sweet to take when you reach a destination that you thought you would never make, close quote. Through our liberation struggle and the advent of our democratic era, we have shown incredible perseverance, humanity, selflessness, and courage. We have shown the ability to find common ground amidst a painful history and deep divisions, and a fearlessness of youth that has helped us to choose ourselves again and again by giving something up or taking something. Through this budget, we choose ourselves yet again. We do the things Madiba dared us to do at the advent of our democracy that would affirm humanity's conviction in the nobility of our cause and its pride in our efforts and daily deeds. We must once again embody these core values if we are to meet our current challenges. We can and must find in ourselves the ethical leadership of Madiba, the selflessness of Albertina Sisulu, and the humanity of Hugh Masekela. Let this be the year of renewal, revitalization, and a step change in progress in fostering inclusive economic growth, which rolls back unemployment, poverty, and inequality. The opportunity is before us. To take advantage, we need to be able to see beyond our individual interests to the national interest, as Madiba so often did, and to find common ground. Let us work together to create a better life for every South African and inhabitant of our beloved country. Let us each lend a hand. Let us. No. Don't rush. Let us remember the words of Owen Young when he said, capital which overreaches for profits, labor which overreaches for wages, or a public which overreaches for bargains will all destroy such other. There is no salvation for us on that road, close quote. The president has called for a social compact for all of us to lend a hand in order to move our country forward. Now is that time. At this stage, I wish to thank former President Zuma for his leadership during the budget process. I wish to thank you, President Ramaphosa, both in your former capacity as a deputy president and now in your capacity as president, for your leadership, for your wise counsel and commitment in unblocking obstacles to inclusive growth. I am grateful to my cabinet colleagues who share with me collective responsibility for the shaping and implementing of this budget. I sincerely thank members of the budget committee for their time, diligence in sifting through budget memoranda and insights in the debates that helped refine the budget proposals. I must express my gratitude to our provincial premiers and finance MECs and municipal mayors for bringing invaluable experience on service delivery at provincial and local level, and who share our fiscal and financial responsibilities. Thank you, Deputy Minister Buthelezi, for your constant support along this journey. Our collective thanks are due to the South African Reserve Bank, the governor of the South African Reserve Bank, who now also chairs the IMFC of the IMF, the South African Revenue Service, Commissioner Moyane, I don't know where he's sitting, and the finance family institutions. Due thanks are also to the Financial and Fiscal Commission and the chairperson, Professor Daniel Plakis, whose advice is critical for the integrity of our intergovernmental fiscal system. Honorable Karim De Beer and Posa, and the Finance and Appropriation Committees, who have responsibility for considering the division of revenue bill, the appropriation bill, and today's revenue and expenditure proposals. Thank you too. Due thanks are also to the NEDLAC, its executive director, Mr. Madoda Vilakazi, and representatives of the business, labor, and community constituencies on the Public Finance and Monetary Chamber for bringing a holistic perspective to our economic challenges. I want to sincerely thank the Director General Tondo Andrew Mukhajane and the team at National Treasury for your expertise, hard work, and deep commitment to public service, as well as the long hours that went into producing this budget, the many interesting debates and discussions we had. I must thank my family for their support, for their continued support and inspiration. My wife and my daughter are in the audience. Most importantly, I would like to thank South Africans who listened to this budget speech for their kind attention, for their advice and contributions, and their constructive criticism that often helps us to become better at what we are doing. Ngiyabonga, kiyalebuha, nakhenza, ndalivuwa, ngiyathokoza.